Welcome to season 3, episode 3 of the Eaton and Morale podcast. It may cost you $10 to park on the lawn, but this podcast is 100% free. On this episode, we welcome the man better known as the Bakersfield Bandit. He has won a Vanier Cup and the Bruce Coulter Award in 2015, was a 3-time first team All-Canadian from 2016 to 2018, and he was drafted to the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the 4th round of the 2020 CFL Draft and has been an integral part of the Tiger Cats defense and special teams. In his 2 seasons in the black and gold, he has become a fan favorite in the community and is the host of his own podcast called Behind the Visor. We are very pleased to welcome Stavros Katsantonis to the Eaton and Raw podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm super, super honored to be here and a part of this.
You know, without JT, that was still a pretty killer intro, Troy. I'll give you that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So as Troy mentioned in the intro there, you do have your own podcast, Behind the Visor. Can you kind of talk to us about like what it's been doing that, like kind of growing your own little brand alongside being a pro athlete?
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously, as you guys know, it's difficult to create content and especially more on a consistent basis, but, just kind of heading into this last season, I mean, I've done some podcasting before and done, you know, some content creation on YouTube. But now kind of having that more solidified professional athlete status, kind of after my first year in the CFL, I was like, you know, I really want to, you know, showcase, you know, a player's point of view in the CFL, because there's just not a whole lot of people doing it. I think Henock Mwamba is, you know, one of the only guys doing it that's like a premier player in the league. So I think I got some inspiration from him. And, you know, there's a few others around the league doing it as well. But heading into this season, I was like, you know what, I really want to do this and try to see if I can, you know, get players' perspectives, you know, other than myself. I think last season I wasn't able to really bring anybody on just because I was still, you know, trying to find my, I guess, find my voice in the podcast scene. But, you know, I was super, super happy with how it turned out. You know, had a lot of people reach out and say, hey, we really enjoyed your podcast. So I'm excited to bring kind of, I guess, this season's, you know, new intricacies. Definitely going to have some more, you know, Tie Cats players on the podcast throughout the season. And then I've also been kind of shopping it around to, you know, some other players around the league, like when they're in town for games, like, hey, I know most teams get in the day before and it's like, hey, you want to come on for a podcast the day before and just literally, you know, shoot the crap essentially and talk football. So I have a few guests kind of lined up for the season when they come to town. So I'm just excited for where it's going and the partnership I have with Persevere right now and kind of their, you know, media group and how they've been but just showcasing Canadian talent from the U Sports level, I think is really good. And to be kind of their only CFL guy right now, I think it's just really beneficial in that sense to continue to grow on both platforms.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Stavros, I've been pretty avid listener. I saw that you came out with it last season. I was like, oh, this is super awesome. Cause as you mentioned, not many guys kind of have that platform in the league. Right. You recently had Dane Evans on, I think it was not this past episode, but the episode before. And you guys kind of talked about his personal life and all of that stuff. And you mentioned that you really wanted to give people a behind the scenes look at you guys as more than just football players. Just how important is that to you to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's a really big thing. And what, at least when I was first brainstorming the show, I didn't want to just be like the typical, like not that it's a bad thing, but typical, like, hey, let's just talk football the whole time. I think one of my main goals was like, okay, when you get in any locker room in any sport, I think you can forget who people really are, especially even as a football player. Like us as football players do probably one of the worst jobs of like sometimes separating our football life from our personal life and sometimes keep that out of the locker room, so to speak. So I think in saying that, I really wanted to just show people who we are, I guess, as people too, because we can definitely, I mean, you see it from both sides, right? Like you have kind of the positive, you know, rah-rah of, oh, this player's doing so good and, you know, we love this guy. And then you also have like the negative side too, where, hey, you know, if the team's not doing well or this person's not doing well, you kind of have your perceived vision of who this person is on the field. Not to say that fans shouldn't have that mindset, but I think just to bring another avenue of like, hey, here's this person who is on the field. Like, you guys know that, right? You know who we are on the field. And some of us always sometimes showcase our I guess who we are being viewed as a little bit in a negative way because how the game's played. But I think understanding who these guys are off the field is just an important thing for fans. And it just gives them some more access to, you know, things that aren't being shared, right? Like how often are you seeing players do, you know, one-on-one interviews where they really can be themselves. And I don't think they can be themselves when they're speaking with TSN or these major sports companies, because, you know, well, first of all, you know, millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people are going to see that. So you're really careful about what you say and how you're perceived. And ultimately, you just don't know that person on that level, right? Like these guys that you sit down and interview with, it's, hey, you've seen me all season, but how many times are you getting a text from that person in the off season checking in on how you're doing? So I think that's kind of the difference here, is where a player like myself or really anyone that does this can sit down with another athlete and just have that different type of bond where you can just literally, you can feel relaxed. You don't feel like you're being tricked into answering any questions. So that's why I'm really excited to just kind of pioneer this in terms of sitting down with other players and just getting their perspective on the game, on life, and sharing that with, you know, fans everywhere.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing we've tried to kind of push on too, is that like you're coming on to like, you're talking with fans. It's not like we're going to like ask you these pressing questions that's going to have you like sitting there all awkward. It's like, we're just trying to make it like, just coming to shoot the shit with the boys and just like give the fans more of like an in-depth look on who you are, like as a person, as well as like a football player. Yeah. So like we get the healthy medium of both, which is really good to see. Cause like, I even with like, as you're saying, with more players, I feel like you're more comfortable because you have that bond of like sharing a locker room or just even like sharing the same league. So like, it'd be a lot more easier for other players to open up for sure. So I think you've definitely got a diamond there for sure.
Yeah. I'm excited to keep moving it forward.
Now, Stav, before we move into some football questions, just for people that haven't found your podcast, where can they do so?
Yeah, definitely. So it's basically anywhere where you would get your podcast. The Persevere Media Network puts it out on, I believe, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast. It may be on other places, but I just know those are the main three where you can listen to podcasts. And then the video kind of exclusive version is on my YouTube channel, which is something it's actually not the first time I started doing it. I actually did the first episode of Behind the Visor, and I may have to eventually post that. But the first episode was actually done in video format, had some highlights and clips on. I think it was of that Montreal game, you know, way back when in the season. But we kind of navigated away from that just initially because it was going to be one of those things where it was a bigger undertaking. But to make a long story short, we're back on the video end and producing in that way. And I think that just gives fans just another way aside from audio. I think I'm personally a visual learner, so I like to watch videos and as opposed to just listen to them. So for people like me, I think that's a huge benefit.
100%. And we were just talking about Dane a bit. I know that he did get traded to BC. Are you kind of excited to try and pick him off this year or what?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's definitely the goal. I mean, I think we're competitive guys. So I think in his end would be no different, right? He's trying to throw touchdowns on us. That's kind of his goal.
Yeah. Just like nice to see that. Like there's like the good little competitions. I know you get one on him. You'll be like, what's up, buddy? Like won't let him forget it type of shit.
Yeah, I think like that's kind of the competitiveness of football, and like and just leads more into like that respect level is like, yeah, I want to pick Dane off, but like I also have that respect for him. Like, okay, I know he's a proven player, so it's not like he's gonna come in there and just throw an interception right off the bat. I think one of my big memories, I forgot to mention this to Dane back in the podcast, but are my second day of practice, my rookie year, I think I picked Dane off on just like a team period, got my first interception of like my whatever practice, you know, professional career. So that was obviously a cool thing. And I remember talking to him after, like, oh, what did you see here? He's kind of asking me like, how did you read that? And just a cool memory. Dane's been a close friend of mine since I came to the team. You know, was one of the first guys to kind of chat with me and just get to know me on a, you know, outside level, outside of a football. So definitely excited for him, you know, wishing him the best success with the Lions, just not against the Ticats. So
exactly. Yeah, we had him on last year too, and you could just tell he's just like a stand-up dude, cares about his family, you know, just his character really embodies him as a person. I think BC definitely got themselves a good one too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For sure. Now, Stavros, I want to ask you, you're heading into your third season in Hamilton. I guess just what is it about the city and the organization that that I guess you've embraced and come to love?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love Hamilton. It's been like since I first got there, it was like, you know, had the, I know some people may look at Hamilton as like, oh, that's not, you know, the best city to live in. But I think I just had the rose glasses on because it was a team who picked me at the end of the day. There was eight other teams that didn't pick me. So I think that kind of plays into it a little bit as well. Not that I wish I would never wish I was anywhere or got drafted anywhere else. I think I'm a firm believer is like everything happens for a reason. So I'll never go back on that, but I always had that little, I guess, resentment sometimes like, oh, well, these other eight teams didn't draft me and Hamilton did. So just to be able to be in a city that has such a rich CFL history, I mean, dating back to, I think the, you know, 1800s is when the, you know, the Ticats were first, I guess, founded. And you can just see that in the town, in the fans, when you run out of the tunnel on, you know, Friday, Saturday or Sunday, it's like everyone that's at that game is invested. And everyone that is there is a, you know, hardworking, you know, steel town resident, and they pay their hard earned money to, you know, come watch the game sometimes when I'm sure money is tight, but they still come to the game because that's like, that's what they are there for. Like that's what Hamilton is all about, is kind of that tight knit community. So, I really fell in love with it over the past 2 years. I'm already like itching to come back. Maybe not so much in the wintertime, but I love the summer there. And kind of like that fall, that turn to fall. And it's just, you know, Hamilton's a real beautiful city. If you actually get a chance to go there, there's so much, you know, such a big, rich, diverse culture that's there, you know, from, you know, your food, which I think Hamilton has, you know, some of the top food out there. I always joke with my guy, Mike O'Connor, who's from Ottawa, and he'll always say, oh, Ottawa has the best shawarma. And I was like, I don't know. Hamilton will give you a run for your money. I can think of a few places that are really good.
So. Ottawa doesn't have Lulu's, that's for sure.
They don't. Yeah, they don't have Lulu's. So definitely, I think just the city as a whole is just embracing. So it makes it easy to just get along with everybody there. You know, regardless of how your football team is doing, I think at the end of the day, you don't have to really, you know, hide that you're a Ticat player there. I think everyone's just appreciative and respects that, hey, you know, you play for the team, and it's definitely an honor to put on that jersey each week. So I definitely treat it as such.
So you're entering in here to your third CFL season. Can you kind of talk about your growth from your rookie year compared to now and how you feel like you've progressed as a player and a teammate?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've come a long way just in the past 2 years. Just even in my first year, from just kind of having to really grow up quick from a rookie standpoint. I mean, you just look at how that season went, from impact, like being impacted by COVID, right? There was no exhibition game. There was, I think we had maybe 3 weeks of practice. And it's just literally go, go, go. And in comparison to, I think what I learned in my second year of training camp, is when it's not a COVID year, there's a lot more, I guess, there's a lot more, not necessarily coaching, but just the evaluation is a lot different because it wasn't so pressed for time. Like, hey, we got week one starts in 3 weeks. There's no exhibition game. So we don't really get to see how you would perform from a pro level. You're just getting that practice, and there's only so much that does. But I definitely think in these past 2 years, I've just been, you know, I've been very fortunate to have really good teammates around me and good veteran players, like guys like, you know, Brooks, Rolly, Tunde, Mike Daly, you know, Siante Evans, a lot of just veteran guys in the room, you know, Simone, Jovan, guys like that, where you just have a shoulder to lean on, and guys that have been there before, and that, you know, guys that aren't selfish. I think that's a big thing. Guys that aren't selfish are too big to go up and ask a question to, or things like that. And that's something that I've always, try to incorporate in my game, is like, okay, off the field, like you got to be asking these guys questions and learning the game, because they've been there. I mean, a guy like Simone's played in the league for, you know, 10 plus seasons. So the experience and knowledge he has is, you know, second to none. Or guys like Chris Van Zyl, obviously he's on the offensive side of the ball. So it's a little bit different, but just, you know, hey, what would you have done different in your first year or second year? Are things that I ask these guys, and I definitely always value these guys' opinion. So, and then the coaching staff is obviously top down, probably one of the best in the league, with guys like, you know, Coach Wash, Coach O being, you know, CFL Hall of Fame DB, you know, having a guy like that in the room, obviously helps from another experience level, like a guy that's been there before, won Grey Cups, and just understands the game and is just a good people person, like off the field. And is the same off on the field as well. Like he pushes you, but at the same time, like he's a guy that cares about you. I think I truly believe he cares about you and wants to see you grow as a player. So, and then Coach Butts is a good big fan of mine. He was my DB coach my first year. And then still hovered around the DBs when he was a special teams coordinator. But, you know, another guy that's believed in me from day one and just as always, you know, helped me. I've been super, super just thankful for a guy like that. Another guy who's a similar to Mike Daly, where he's had the experience and then just jumped into coaching right away. So it's his experience is still fresh and has a lot of insight to share. So always appreciative of a guy like that.
Yeah, that. You mentioned kind of all the coaches, Coach O, Mark Washington, Craig Butler, like they were all defensive backs and safeties in the CFL. You guys must have some crazy like defensive back talks, like when you guys get into like your individual group meetings. I would assume that's to be correct.
Oh, yeah. Like the first 2 years when you have so much like veteran guy or so many veteran guys in the room, it definitely creates for some big long talks on, you know, certain coverages or certain plays, how guys see it. Cause everyone interprets things differently. So it's always good to just see the different insight that's spread out. And I think in turn that kind of translates on the field is you have one play, but you have nine different guys that have like big CFL experience that all interpret it a different way. So to have that insight, I think allows you to play a little bit differently and a little bit more confident that, okay, you kind of have all your bases covered in terms of how a team might attack you, because this is how one person saw it and another person saw it this way. So I think that's just a big value with guys like that, but it'll be different this year. Obviously in our secondary with, you know, not having that, I guess not as big a veteran presence as we've had in years past. So I guess in that sense, with guys like myself or guys like Nick Cross, you know, the rookie guys are now turning into those veteran guys that the new guys come in, we'll have to lean on a little bit more. So it's definitely a huge undertaking that'll kind of start to transition as of this year and the years to come.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. Is it me already? Yeah. My fault. So yeah, talking about like how we're not going to have a lot of key veterans. We could talk about the additions, you know, with JV and Elliott, Chris Edwards. How do you feel about bringing those guys into the DB room? How do you think?
I'm excited. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm excited to have those guys in there. Obviously, Chris Edwards is a proven DB. You know, obviously won Grey Cups. I know he's won one Grey Cup. I don't know if he's won any previous to that. I'd have to do the old Wikipedia search to check that one up. But I mean, he's a proven guy. He makes plays. He's a playmaker. Some guys may not like his playing style, but at the end of the day, he's had success with it. So I think it'll be interesting to see him. I mean, it'll be good to have him on our side rather than the other side. I mean, you've seen him, you know, take touchdowns at the house, whether it's at BMO Field when we played them, you know, and get picks against us, you know, at Tim Hortons. So it'll be good to have a veteran guy like that on the team who understands, knows the game, and knows how to win at the end of the day. And then a guy like JV and Elliott, who I think is a newcomer as of last year, but has that NFL experience. And I haven't heard anything but good things from guys in Calgary that have said, you know, he's the real deal and he's a baller. So I think the transition in Hamilton will just be pretty seamless for him, especially with like we've stated, you know, Coach O being a DB, Coach Wash being a DB, and then obviously our DB coach as well. So whoever that will be, but I think he'll just fit in well to our system and you know, hopefully flourish on that end.
For sure. Now you mentioned that kind of in this year, it's a little bit different from the past couple of years with Jamal Roll and Siante and Carriel leaving, that you're going to be one of the guys that is leaned on, like yourself, Tunde, Richard Leonard. I guess just kind of how do you prepare yourself to kind of take on a more leadership type role?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say it's something that's new to me. It'll be new to me in the CFL, but I've kind of stepped into those roles in college and high school. Obviously, it'll be a lot different with, you know, pro athletes as opposed to, you know, 21 and 18, 19 year olds, or even, you know, going as far back to high school, you're, you know, 17, 16 years old. So it'll definitely be a different approach just because you're dealing with, you know, grown men. So the way you talk to people can't can't always be in a, you know, some people, like I said, people interpret things in different ways. So you may talk to a tone in one guy that you may not be able to use for another guy. So I just think being able to navigate that, and I've had good leadership, you know, in the room, and not just from one guy, from multiple guys, like I said. So to be able to see kind of the pros and cons of how, you know, those guys have approached situations, what worked, what hasn't, I think will prepare me for that in this year, in terms of just at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing is just helping guys grow, and in transition or in translation, that'll help, you know, win football games. So I think that'll be just kind of my approach is, okay, just being there for guys who are learning the playbook. And, you know, I have a pretty firm grasp on it from my past 2 years playing in the system. So just being able to be that guy that, hey, you can, you know, I've always been pretty open in years past, but I've gotten better at it as I progress in the CFL, but just being that guy that can, you know, guy can come to and be like, hey, how does this coverage work? Or, you know, sit down with me for, you know, 10, 15 minutes and go over this with me. So I think just things like that, just the little things, as coaches always say, will kind of translate into the one big thing each week, which will be the game. So, you know, I'm excited to obviously step into that role and just kind of assume that position that it has to be, right? It's kind of like evolution when veteran guys leave, someone has to step into that role. So, you know, hopefully be one of those guys that, you know, earn the respect of my teammates to be able to, you know, step into that role. So yeah, definitely going to be different this year.
I also wanted to ask you about your relationship with Tunde, because you proved in the 2021 playoffs that you're you can start in this league and he can play all around the field. I guess just what's the dynamic between you two? Because then we see on social media you guys are hanging out, posting with each other. So I guess just, I guess, could you give us a little closer look at your friendship?
Yeah. I think me and Tunde have like a pretty strong friend relationship. And obviously just from a safety standpoint, like you kind of almost have to, it's like being quarterbacks, like you're in that position, you really have to understand the whole defense. You have to be able to communicate well. So our lockers actually this year were placed right next to each other. so as you can probably tell, just from like the social media interaction and stuff like that, like we became pretty good friends. Obviously we still talk a lot in the off season. We game quite a bit. We kind of made the mistake of buying vehicles at the same time during the summer. So maybe not one of our best financial decisions, but, I think we both kind of not in a bad way, but like tricked each other into, oh yeah, let's go get a vehicle. I think he ended up getting a Tesla and I got a truck. So, like I said, not one of our best financial decisions, but you can take that as it is in terms of how our friendship level is. But definitely a guy I respect a lot, guy that's been in the CFL, you know, quite a long time. I think he's going on his seventh season, and is a proven starter in this league. Like you said, he's been able to play multiple positions. And if you don't think I'm, you know, talking to him off the field, like, hey, Tunde, like, I think you could play field corner this game and I could play free. And we have those conversations quite a bit. But at the end of the day, you know, that type of stuff isn't up to us. But so yeah, like a guy like Tunde has definitely helped me a lot. So I think it was just easy to make that kind of connection, off the field as well. Cause like I said, a guy that I have so much respect for, who's played, you know, six plus seasons in the CFL, and just has a lot of knowledge in the game. Obviously, you know, played special teams, understands that, has been a proven starter, CFL All-Star. So to have a guy like that in the room, to be able to ask questions to, and he's not one of those guys where he's, like I said, too high on his stool to go talk to or ask questions to. So, and he's even almost a good coach in a sense, because he understands the defense so well. So sometimes before the DB coach will get to me to say, hey, you need to do this, he's already on it. Like, hey, you need to be this type of leverage or be this far off the ball, or, you know, blitz at this part of the waggle. I think it's just been a tremendous help to me, and just have my respect level that much higher for a guy like that. So hopefully we can see more of both of us on the field. It obviously worked in 2021, but, you know, I'll leave that up to the coaches to decide that one.
So we have to start at hashtag start stab or what?
Maybe, yeah, that might have to be the hashtag. I don't know how much that'll work. I think about 100% of it is on me performing in training camp and obviously proving that I can be an every down starter to them, or not even every down, they know that, but just an every game starter, right? So I think they have, you know, a lot of confidence in me and my ability. So it's just, when my time comes, you know, they know I'll be ready. So just excited, and hopefully that's the season.
Yeah, for sure. Talking about how you're gonna work harder, can you kind of let us know about what a typical day in the off season is for you?
Yeah, I think it varies by each guy, right? Like some guys are working full time jobs. Like I know Chris Ackey, I think he's with the Alouettes, is he's doing like a full time like politics job, like government job in Toronto, and then you know you still got to train. Fortunately, I kind of been able to focus just more on my off season training, because my wife has a decent job, so I'm very blessed with that. But yeah, my typical day kind of just, you know, starts with my, obviously, you know, getting the good sleep, getting good recovery, you know, and then from there, just kind of getting into my training regimen that I work with the team with. So kind of our strength and conditioning coach has kind of sent us personalized programs for the off season. So I've just been working on that, you know, doing kind of a run program 4 times a week, and then kind of paired with a, you know, 4 times a week strength program, that kind of usually happens after a few hours after I run. So I usually be, you know, run in the morning, or kind of just around like 12 o'clock, and then rest a few hours and then kind of go hit my lift, in my garage. That was another thing that I did this off season, was kind of build out the little home gym, so I could work out in there and not have to go all the way to the gym or pay the gym fee or anything like that. So just another way to save money. And I actually feel like my progress has been a lot better in that sense, just being able to, hey, the garage is right there. It's not more excuses. Yeah. There's no excuse like, oh, it's snowing outside, I can't, I got to drive all the way there, it's raining, or whatever excuse may be found. Now that won't go without saying that there's always excuses that can be found anywhere. So I won't say that there aren't thoughts that pop into my head sometimes of like, oh, you know, yeah, the gym's right there, but you got to turn on the heater and it's going to take an hour to heat up or 30 minutes to heat up. So maybe you shouldn't go today. But like 10 out of 10 times, I usually beat those thoughts out and get the lift in. So that's usually how it goes, you know, a little lift in the afternoon or late night sometimes. I actually kind of enjoy working out at the end of the day, more than in the morning. I don't know if that's just because like, I think in a way it differs for every guy, right? Like some guys may love working out at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. And, that's great on them. I know I can do that, 'cause I know I wake up during like around like 5:30 during the football season. But I think I value my sleep a little bit more in the off season. So, you know, being able to just work out in the afternoon, I think it, in a way for me personally, it feels like I'm not as forced as like, okay, like get up at 6 a.m. and you know, the whole eat the frog kind of terminology. So I feel like I'm a little bit more motivated when I get into the gym and able to just hit bigger numbers and stuff like that. So definitely that's about how each day usually goes. And then a couple rest days, you know, 2 to 3 rest days in between.
Now, how similar would your off-season routine be to, I guess, in-season? I guess kind of what would be your game day? Like, are you someone that's super superstitious, or you just kind of go with the flow type of thing?
No, I wouldn't say I'm superstitious. Like, I do have my, you know, if you want to call them pre-game rituals, like things that I do. But if I don't hit those, it's not like I'm psyching myself out, you know, before the game. I would say probably like back in college or high school, I probably would, but now it's just like, all right, if I don't do this one stretch, like I'm not worried that I'm going to, you know, tweak something or anything like that. But, I would say like from an off season standpoint to in season, I would say it's pretty different. At least workout wise. I mean, some guys may be able to do this, but again, everyone's different. But to work out 4 times a week, and move the weight that we're moving in the off season just probably isn't feasible. Just from a 21 week season, where you're getting banged around for sure 18 games. That's not even to, you know, incorporate the practices or anything like that. So, the workouts are definitely scaled back a little bit. I would say like the intensity is still there in terms of when I am in the gym. But I think there is a little bit more focus on kind of the mobility, and flexibility of those workouts. Whereas you may be doing more that strength focus, whereas in the season, it's more kind of like maintenance, like maintaining what you built in the off season. And then also, you know, staying mobile, you know, getting all those important stretches in and stuff like that, that are going to prolong your career, because that's kind of been the thing as of the last few years, you know, the whole TB12 thing and you know, being able to be mobile. And that's, I think that's obviously been proven from a science standpoint. So that's kind of how it's modified during the season, is like more still lifting, but a lot more stretching, recovery, and making sure that I'm taking care of my body on that end, so I can be available to play each week.
Yeah. Heading into this season, you know, we're hosting the Grey Cup again. Looking back to what was your experience like in the 2021 Grey Cup? And do you have any expectations going into this year, hopefully to play again, you know, without the restrictions, more fans, the extra seating added, and get like that full Grey Cup week?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that was my first Grey Cup experience, right? Was 2021. I had never been to a Grey Cup before. I just kind of seen it on TV. And from what I experienced, it was one of the craziest games like I've played in. And I can't imagine what it would be like without like a limited, you know, sort of restriction capacity, like COVID year, I guess that's what you want to call it. But yeah, that experience in 2021 was like just something else. It obviously wasn't your average home game or even average home playoff game. Like, I can tell you that game was just amped up more. And I remember just taking it all in, like previous to the, you know, kickoff, and just seeing like, it was almost just like a sea of black. Obviously, like, there was probably no empty seats. I think they said 26,000. It felt like more than that. But it was just like such a cool feeling to experience that. And obviously something that I want to get back to. And obviously with the Grey Cup being in Hamilton in 23, that's something I want to experience again. And getting over the hump, right, is the next experience. Because I know, I'm sure you guys were at the game, or if not, watching the game closely in a local Hamilton pub or eatery. But just to be able to like say, hey, you know what, like to be able to raise the Grey Cup, and I know everyone would have stormed the field had we won that game in 2021. And it would have been just something to remember. So I think that's part of what drives me to, you know, want to be, like what drives anyone to be a Grey Cup champion, not only just in just any stadium, but to be able to do it in front of your home fans is something special. I think Saskatchewan did it in 2013 or 14. Yeah. And I think it was against Hamilton, unfortunately.
Is that the Corey Sheets game?
Yeah, that game. So
I was at nightmares. That game, unfortunately. Nightmares.
You're at that game. Yeah, I know our coach Craig Butler was on the Saskatchewan
side. That was his first season in the Riders, I believe.
Last season. Last season in the Riders. So to experience something like that would just be something surreal. And obviously preparing for that game, I obviously have the experience of what it takes to get there. And if you could ask us probably at the start of that 21 season, I'm sure like you would get the average, like, oh yeah, like our goal is to go to the Grey Cup, but to say you knew we were going to be in the Grey Cup, you know, playing Winnipeg and going to overtime, like, I think you would be a little loopy at that stage in the game. Especially with the team we had, like, I think most people didn't really expect us to be, I mean, preseason, right? And I know preseason we were ranked high, and then we go into Winnipeg week one and then Saskatchewan week two, and everyone's probably like, oh, whoa, like, are we going to make the playoffs 0-2? So to just see the ups and downs of that season and understand like what it really takes to get there. And then to have that experience of like actually being in the game is something I'll never forget. But obviously the main goal now is obviously to raise the trophy. And there wouldn't be any sweeter way to do it than in Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field with, you know, 20 plus thousand Ticats fans on the field with us, taking that in. And then I couldn't imagine the parade, you know, in the days ensuing.
Hamilton
and
will shut down.
Yeah. I would be excited. I'm not condoning any vandalism, but I wouldn't be surprised if a few vehicles were turned over or carried through the streets. You know, I've seen some crazy stuff fandom wise, you know, from, I think when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl back in like 2000 or 2001, I think there were like cars flipped and just mayhem, but in a good way. So hopefully we can get some healthy mayhem into Hamilton in 2023, after, you know, hopefully getting to the Grey Cup.
Yeah, they're going to have to take the Philadelphia route and grease up the lamp poles.
Yeah.
But my final question I have for you, Stavros, we've taken up enough of your time. I'll let Josh ask one more after this. But you've kind of touched on it a little bit. But you had a you've had some turnover this year. So, and COVID kind of gave you guys the chance that not, I don't think anyone is ever going to get to do, where you have the Grey Cup in your home city in two of the last 3 years. Just as you said, you went through a lot in 2021, like you were preseason favorites and then first 2 weeks maybe don't go your way. So there was a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of like media scrutiny and scrutiny from fans. Just, I guess, how can you translate what you guys learned from that experience to kind of the new guys that are coming on to the team that maybe have never gone through something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think like you stated, like the experience is something that is like invaluable. It's not something that you can't just learn, you know, in a day. It's, you have to go through it and go through the trials, tribulation, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. So I think in understanding that, and even a season like 2022, an even like worse season, if you want to put it that way, but still made the playoffs and had an unfortunate exit. But to have the, you know, almost being at the highest of highs with 2021, gaining that experience, and then 2022, like being at the lowest of lows when I think we were 1-6, and it was like, all right, time to pack the season in from, you know, an outsider standpoint. And then, you know, winning six straight and going to the playoffs. It's like, you know that in this league, like anything can happen. And there's no, there's only failure if you quit. So I think just kind of reiterating that to like the new guys and just like teaching them, hey, this is the CFL, like literally anything can happen. And like no lead is safe, like we've seen, unfortunately, in Hamilton and obviously other places as well. But just sharing things like that with them and not giving up in the sense of like, okay, if you get down 21 points in the first half, like you can still come back in the CFL, which is probably, you can't say that about every single sports league that's out there. Maybe there's some one-offs in the NFL, but it doesn't happen as consistently where you see like fourth quarter lead changes in the CFL. I think we had like over, you know, 15 or 16 fourth quarter lead changes where teams came back and won the game. So just being able to share that experience and then just the experience of going through adversity in a season is definitely something that guys will be able to lean on, I think, and understand like, hey, we've been here before. If we get into situations like that, like we understand what it's like to lose and be close to winning and not reach, you know, your full potential. But I think that'll be kind of just one of the biggest things is, like you said, we have guys that have experienced, you know, Grey Cup wins and, you know, JG, Chris Van Zyl, guys that have experienced Grey Cup losses like myself. And obviously, you know, there's other guys that on the team that have experienced that. And then the lowest lows of almost having a foldable season and being able to come back from that. So I think just being able to share stuff like that with guys will be just an integral part of this 2023 season.
At least one good thing with Hamilton, though, you guys could lose every game and, you know, you'll go into the home opener the following season to a packed barn.
Yeah. That's probably one of the good things. Can't say that about every fan base out there. So I think that's what makes playing in Hamilton just so valuable. It is just the fan base is second to none. And I personally say the best fan base in the CFL. I know some people in the provinces of Saskatchewan and Manitoba would argue differently, but that's how I feel. And like I said, you guys just come out each week, and whether we're 8-0 or 0-8, you guys are out there supporting. So, you know, always appreciate all our fans out there. And like I said, hopefully we can bring the big one home this year for everybody.
That is definitely the plan. I got one more question for you here. Yep. What's on the typical game day playlist, and kind of what have you been listening to recently and watching? And you said you were gaming with Tune Day. So what have you been like gaming? Like what's your little outlets there?
We've been gaming Call of Duty. We've been on Resurgence. So me, him, and our long snapper Gordon White, who I'm sure is a big fan favorite with everyone as well, because he's a big special teams player and has a great character on the field. So that's been our kind of go-to game of choice as of late. From like a music standpoint, man, I'm a big like lover of all genres, so like I'll work out really to anything and still be like motivated to do my lift. Like I think when I was doing like my front squat max on, I was doing like a max this past Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and I was listening to Revolution, which is like kind of like a California reggae group, So it's kind of like a SoCal reggae. So we ever get a chance there, they got some good vibe music. I think Revolution is they're one of my favorites in terms of that genre. But then like the next day I'll be listening to, you know, like rap. Like Young Dolph has actually been on my playlist for a while. Like I've literally before this past week, I think for like 4 weeks straight of workouts, I would just go on Spotify and just play Young Dolph playlists. And I'm a big fan of his music. Rest in peace to him. But yeah, his music definitely has some motivational stuff in
Memphis,
there for me.
Memphis icon.
Yeah, Memphis icon for sure. And then one of my favorites, who's probably not a very well known guy, but NF. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's just another rapper. Or he's not just another rapper. He's a good rapper. But his music definitely inspires me. And some may see it as like the darker side of music. But like he kind of says, he raps about what's real and real life stuff. So I've connected in some ways to his music, and it's helped me through a lot of stuff. So definitely he's got some track space on my playlist, whether it's working out or game day. So. Definitely.
Yeah, he's
him
a very
for sure.
Deep, very deep conscious rapper. Like you can definitely hear the pain and emotion in his voice for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can tell he puts his all into it. So I appreciate when people are full bought into things. So you can tell with him for sure.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to have you back on. We haven't even really touched on kind of college or your upbringing or anything like that. So anytime you'd like to come back on the podcast and, as Josh would say, shoot the shit by all means.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, shoot with the boys. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Definitely we'll have to come on, you know, once I get back in Hamilton and do sort of an in season episode. I definitely hope to come back on.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
For sure. One question, one real quick question.
Yeah.
Favorite uniform combo of the Ticats? Because we talk about this all the time, and I want to hear from a player's perspective. Like, you like the all black, you like the gray ones that you guys came out with last year. I guess just kind of what's your go-to combo?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. It's the blackout for sure. And you even know it's anticipated even in our locker room. Because I don't think last year or even the year before, like, you don't see the all blacks until like a few home games into the season. It's usually the black and white or black and yellow combo. So I think that every player will tell you the all blacks are the go-to just jersey, and just being able to have that blackout in the, cause almost everybody that comes to a Ticats game is wearing the black jersey. Right. So it's not like you may have a few white jerseys or the, I think the throwback yellows from a few years ago. But even the white jersey, the Rolly jersey I see back there. But I think everyone will tell you like the black ones are probably the top ones. The gray Hammer jersey were obviously, I think, introduced this past season. And I didn't know about them until training camp. I think I walked in kind of probably at the wrong time to our little media. We were doing like a little media scrum of, you know, say your name, position, like that type of day in training camp. And just when I happened to walk in, I think Braylon Addison was in the all grays, and I was like, oh wow, like those are gonna be sick to wear. So I definitely, the gray is a changeup. I do like those jerseys, but I think hands down it's the all black jerseys.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Again, that's everything we got for you. So again, just thank you very much. If we don't talk to you before May, good luck with the rest of training, and we'll see you at McMaster in a couple months.
We'll see you in 118 at Tim Hortons Field, ready to crack a couple cold ones. Watch you get a pick game or week
there
three.
There we go. If I get a pick
three?
Six, you'll have to throw some brewskis down. Maybe I have to do my stone cold impersonation.
Wasn't it Jacob Ruby, wasn't it, who chugged the beer on the sideline? No.
Yeah, I think maybe I can't remember his name, but
John
Gott.
Is that who you're talking about?
I was just thinking about O lineman from Ottawa to Ottawa.
Yeah, definitely. May have to pull a rendition out of that for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, staff, for hopping on. Really appreciate it. Thank you to all the fans who took the time to listen. And always remember to eat them raw.